God All in All, by Leon A. Benu. Now, whenever all may be subjected to him, then the Son himself also shall be subjected to him who subjects all to him, that God may be all in all. 1 Cor. 15:28, Concordant Version. That which constitutes our subject, God all in all, is a part of a very important and profound passage of Scripture, as may be seen from our text. It is one of the greatest revelations of truth in the Word of God, setting forth God's grand and glorious goal, namely, the ultimate removal and repudiation of sin. Since then he must often be suffering from the disruption of the world, yet now, once, at the conclusion of the eons, for the repudiation of sin through his sacrifice, is he manifest. Heb. 9:26. The consequent cessation and abolishment of evil and the justification and vivification of all his creatures without the loss of a single one, is God's goal. Nothing short of it is. This is what is divinely declared in this brief, yet highly informative section of 1 Corinthians 15:20-28. The fundamental fact of the Evangel. It would be of profit to acquaint ourselves with what is set forth in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12-28. In substance it shows that the death of Christ is essential to the Evangel and, in addition, for a dead Christ cannot save, that his resurrection is vitally necessary for justification, vivification, reconciliation and all other blessings besides. This is important, for, as the Apostle points out, if Christ has not been roused, we are still in our sins, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. His resurrection, then, is of supreme importance. The death state. Death is the opposite of life, according to the Scriptures. It is not a change from one form of life to another, certainly not the gateway to glory, as is usually taught even by devout men. To the contrary, death is a cessation of being, destruction, disorganization, separation of one's vital units. Happily, Christ will deliver all the dead from this dire condition, for he is God's appointed instrument for the deliverance of all mankind from the death state. To John, on the Isle of Patmos, Christ gave assurance of this divinely given task on behalf of mankind, saying, "Do not fear. I am the first and the last, and the living one, and I became dead, and, lo, living am I for the eons of the eons, Amen. And I have the keys of death and of the unseen." Rev. 1:17-18. The completeness of Christ's subject-on and the universality of his achievement. All insubordination will be put down in the dust of defeat whenever and wherever it shows its ugly head in the heavens and on the earth. Christ Jesus our Savior is ruler of both spheres. He who is of the celestial came to earth, divested himself of his former glory in order to be the man's Savior, Redeemer and Deliverer. In his lowliness he came to be at the feet of all. Nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, and, being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Phil. 2:7-8. Hence, he is acquainted with the ways of men and angels and, therefore, is well qualified to be Lord of all in the heavens as well as on the earth. He is set over all, ascends over all who are of the heavens that he may be completing the all. The universe, mother. He ascended, what is it except that he first descended also into the lower parts of the earth? He who descends is the same who ascends also, up over all who are of the heavens, that he should be completing all. If 4:9-10. No angel, or celestial creature, has this unique, distinctive position and opportunity, for none could qualify. Only the Son of God's love is capable of all this. Thank God for this qualified one who will soon take unto himself his great power and reign. With firmness, yet in love, and a wisdom which takes into account the weaknesses and follies of his subjects, men and heavenly creatures as well, he will, with unquenchable zeal, Bring all God's rebellious creatures into full subjection to his God and Father who created them. The last enemy that the Christ will have to deal with is death. It will become inoperative, be abolished, by his power. Its victims will have become completely emancipated from its slavery, and not till then will it be possible for all to be made alive in Christ. Some of the Corinthians, like the Sadducees, denied the resurrection of the dead, but Paul insists not only on the resurrection of the dead, but on the vivification of all, including those who have not actually gone into the death state. All will be well. Customarily, it is taken for granted that the last book of the Bible, the scroll of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, contains the revelation of the consummation of the aeons, whereas that was not given to John, but to Paul, whose writings reveal a purpose formed before the aeons, in Christ Jesus, embracing within its compass the events from and included in the first chapter of Genesis onwards to, and beyond, the final vision recorded by John in the scroll of his testimony, the scroll of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Comfort yourself, then, with this thought, with this truth, that no matter how black things may look at present, however much evil and sin seem to triumph, how much sickness, disease may wreck this mortal frame, we have a Savior, who is Lord of all. One who is fully capable of grappling with our unsolved problems, however formidable they might be, and solve them so marvelously that he will be universally acclaimed Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let no one, therefore, deceive you into thinking that this will never come to pass, will never be true, that it is only a pipe dream that all will not eventually be saved, that some will be, as it is put, eternally lost. Those who speak thus evidently don't know the God whom they profess to love and worship, don't know the scriptures they profess to believe, don't know the Savior and the true value of his death for them and for all. For he said, "And I, if I should be exalted out of the earth, shall be drawing all to myself." John 12:32. Don't be disturbed by them, even by the uninformed evangelists, pastors and teachers, concerning their teaching of eternal damnation with its seeming support of the Word of God. Verily, I am saying to you that all shall be pardoned the sons of mankind, the penalties of the sins and the blasphemies, whatsoever they should be blaspheming. Yet whoever should be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is having no pardon for the aeon, but is liable to the aeonian penalty for the sin, for they said, "An unclean spirit has he." Mark 3:28-30. When this text is correctly translated, as it is in some versions, notably the Concordant version, it is clear that this passage, and others like it, is in line with the fundamental teaching of the Word of God. Punishment, or chastening, is never intended of God to be perpetual. It is wholly confined within the aeons. That is all our Lord said in the above passage. The inspired apostle declares emphatically that Christ will reign until he shall be placing all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Note that death is the last enemy. In this instance, it is none other than the second death which is in view, for at this period of Christ's reign all have been delivered from the first death. Rev. 20:4-15. Hence, only the second death is remaining. And remember, it is the last enemy, the abolition of which necessarily must take place almost at the close of his reign. The abolishment of death, the second death, is important in order that all may be vivified so that God may become all in all. Christ's resurrection, the keystone. The inspired apostle Paul makes it crystal clear that, for God to be all in all, the resurrection of all the dead is required. Every son and daughter of Adam is included, all for whom Christ died. His words are, "For since, in fact, through a man came death, through a man, also, comes the resurrection of the dead." 1 Cor. 15:21. So then, for God to be all in all demands the resurrection of all the dead, right back to Adam and Eve. That is why our text is placed right in the heart of the theme of the resurrection of which the apostle speaks so eloquently and so passionately. And lest there be any misunderstanding of his word, the apostle goes right on to say, "For even as, in Adam, all are dying, all do not die, but all are dying, a process, thus also, in Christ, shall all be vivified. Yet each in his own class. All will not be vivified, or made to live, at the same time. There will be three classes." So the apostle goes right on to explain the order in which the three classes will be vivified, or made alive, made to live a full life in all its perfection and glory of person and immortality, with all the possibility of death completely removed. Such is the nature and quality of vivification or making alive, a life that only God through Christ can impart. Thank God for such an expectation, for it fills us with joy to the full. Hallelujah. Yes, in times like these. Praise be unto him. Now the apostle continues, carefully note his words which so many Christians fail to grasp. First, the first fruit, Christ, resurrection 1900 and more years ago. Second, thereupon those who are Christ's in his presence. Third, thereafter comes the consummation, the finality. But, someone may ask, when will the consummation be? The apostle explains this fully in 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. When will the consummation be, the time? When will the third class be vivified? Listen carefully, whenever he may be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, verse 24. B. Whenever he should be nullifying all sovereignty and all authority and power. Verse 24. C. Now whenever he may be saying that all is subject. Verse 27. D. Now, whenever all may be subjected to him, then the Son himself also shall be subjected to him who subjects all to him, that God may be all in all. Verse 28. That is the time when the third class will be vivified, made to live endlessly. The apostle proceeds to supply further details of Christ's work in verses 24-28. Note the word, whenever. Throughout, the oft-repeated word, whenever, points to the many things to be accomplished before the consummation of the aeons, the time when the third class will be vivified. And they, with the rest of creation, will be presented to God, a subjected, reconciled creation in which God becomes all in all. Dear reader, thank God for this wonderful plan of full deliverance for the human race, our only hope in this life and in the ages to come. May God, by His Spirit, open your spiritual eyes to see and your heart to understand. And don't fail to tell others, and thus become a channel of blessing, is the prayer of the author. This pamphlet is a reprint of one of the many publications of the Rev. Leon Abenu, for many years managing editor of Grace and Truth magazine. Additional copies may be obtained free from Grace and Truth magazine. Grace and Truth magazine. Return to main index page.